Live from the studios of KVTA, Ventura County's inspiration station, this is The Kim Pagano Show. Kim is Ventura County's mom and so much more, bringing value every day in every way. Join Kim and her friends every Saturday as they interview interesting and inspirational guests, everyone from authors and entertainers to doctors and experts. From A to Z, Kim's got you covered. And now here's Ventura County's mom and so much more. It's Kim Pagano.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome. Welcome to the Kim Pagano Show and, of course, the brighter side of life. I am so excited that you are here. And I have one of my old friends, actually one of my mentors, the one that actually got me started. And, of course, that is Coach Ron Tunick, and he's going to be joining me. And if you are just a new listener tuning in, you're going to hear all about him. And I have to tell you, we've had some amazing times. And I'm grateful for that I have this passion that I can share with everyone every Saturday morning. And, of course, I do want to remind you to download our podcast and share it with everybody. Give us a rate on there, and hopefully it's a 5. And don't keep us a secret. Also, you can stream us here on kvta.com. And, of course, we talk about the brighter side of life. I always start my show with something uplifting. And today's is, success is not final. Failure is not fatal. It is the courage to continue that counts. And that's really what life's about. One foot in front of the other. And I hope that we bring some brighter side of life to you. And, of course, to that you can listen, learn, and laugh with us. And, of course, joining us is Coach Ron Tunick. And we're going to talk a little bit about when somebody gets knocked down and how to kind of get back up and learn to really trust your gut and yourself and your own, you know, your own self is what it's all about. So I am so pleasured to join Coach Ron Tunick. He's a radio talent, a coach, a keynote speaker, a mentor, an author, a CEO, motivational business speaker.
I'm telling you.
There you go. And you know what? He speaks from his heart. And I'm excited. He was here when we first both started on KKZZ. That's where I started. And now he's doing stuff all over the world. So, Ron Tunick, please join us. How are you?
Oh, welcome, Ventura County. So I got to just tell a quick little story. So I've been with the mayor of Ventura County, Tom Spence, for 20 years. I was just telling him the other day, some of the best times of my life have been with Tom Spence. We've interviewed together over 17,000 people. And I know he didn't want to talk, but I love that dude. And I'm in Colorado Springs now, Kim. So I got to tell a little story on you.
Please,
so there
you go.
I love it. 20 years ago, you were my hairstylist.
And your beautiful
daughter, Tiffany, I loved you guys. And you had this, you're the cutest thing in Ventura County. You had this great little voice. So one day, I was doing with Tom, producing a show called Moms. And I thought, I got to have this great mom on. So you came on, and you were the star of the show. And then I said to you one day, come on, girl, you got to have your own radio show. 17 years later, here you are.
I know. Isn't that crazy?
I'm so proud.
I have to tell you, it's like the best part of my, you know, world of getting out there, having a voice for the community. And it's just, it's been so much fun. And if we can make a difference, that's what it's all about. So I love that.
Well, I owe everything to radio. I live a luxury life because of radio, as Tom knows. I met so many of my clients, interviewed them. And Tom and I, just real quick, another 10 seconds. I was thinking of our best interviews. The pitcher. Come on, Tommy, from the Tigers.
McClain. Didn't we interview Danny McClain?
Danny McClain. We interviewed Bard Starr. Anyway, back to you, Kim. So, I only have a few minutes, and hopefully I'll be invited back. But I want to talk about getting knocked down, because I've been knocked down many, many times in my life. How do you get back up? That's the key. How do you get back up when you get knocked down? So many of our friends got knocked down to COVID. I've lost two friends to COVID. They passed away. I lost another dear friend who lost his voice to COVID, and on and on. And when you go back and look at my knockdowns in life, I thought we'd break it into two sections. One, Kim, is before you get knocked down, what do you do? And what do you do after you get knocked down? Are you interested?
Of course I am. And you know, you know what? I just have to say this, is everybody gets knocked down. It's a part of life. And you know what? My dad really taught me to pick yourself up, dust yourself off, and keep going on. And it's the ones that keep walking forward and do, you know, get knocked down and stand back up and look at it in a different way. And I can't wait to hear, because I know that you coach so many business people, and now I've started doing business coaching, and it's those life skills that take us to that next step. So I love
it. I know. And, you know, it's interesting, just aside, I've been business coaching, as Tom knows, for over 30 years. And, you know, coaching from a man's perspective is different because our culture is different. And coaching from a women's perspective is also different. I think sometimes for your listeners, have an opportunity to find life coaches or business coaches and interview them and see how they respond to your questions. Anyway,
I totally agree. You're 100%. Yeah. And you know what? To me, I just have to say, because I've had some incredible men coaches and women, so you do have to find out what works for you. But it's really just a mirror of something that you're thinking, and they kind of resonate with you, and you have to be on the same page. So I think that's super important.
Absolutely. So what do you do before you get knocked down? What do you do when those hard times come and those dark clouds come? You have to prepare. So I was blessed that I was a very good athlete, like Tom Spence was when I was young, and I had coaches when I was in high school talk about what happens when you get knocked down as a football and baseball player. How do you get back up? How do you deal with issues that are unpleasant? And they would share their thoughts with me. So Tom Spence knows this old John Madden inspirational Tom, and he says, "I don't care if the horse is blind, just load the wagon. Do your hard work when nobody's looking. Prepare for the tough times that are come." So I'm a very spiritual person. I believe in God. I pray every day. But I started praying when I was 18 years old. I started reading books about leaders and strategists and people that had overcome so many hard things in their life. And when hard times came for me, I was prepared. I never said, "Why me?" I just said, "Get your ass back up and let's get going."
There you go.
The preparation, Kim, before the hard times come, everybody can do that. I didn't like reading books, but I started reading books when I was 27 years old. I've been reading books ever since. And in those books are the greatest leaders in the world, the greatest generals in the world, the greatest motivational people in the world. I don't think you know this. I used to listen to your radio show every morning, every Saturday morning, driving to my golf. And you did a very special show helping people with all kinds of issues back in the day. And that show was so inspirational because I remembered some of the things they used to say to people. And before I talk about what happens when you get knocked down and you get back up, before you get knocked down, build those relationships. Because
have a tribe.
Down,
absolutely. I think it's so important to have people that you can depend on, but not only depend on, be able to lift them when they're needing it too. So it's a win-win.
Absolutely. I mean, relationships are everything, and it doesn't have to necessarily be with family. It could be with anybody. I don't want to brag on Tom Spence, but he's done so many good things for Ventura County and the city of Ventura and Oxnard. When nobody was looking, he was raising money for people that needed help. And he never asked for a pat on the back or return. That was just something he did. So when tough times came for Tom Spence, people reached out to him. You do the preparation.
I love that.
Yeah.
So let me ask. Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, my dear.
No,
go ahead.
Well, what I was going to say, so, you know, we just went through the hardest time of most of our lives, and it was so unexpected. There wasn't, well, not one of us that could have expected where we would end up or how it would end up. We were all scared and unsure of the times, and just life was at its most unexpected way. How did you weather through that? I mean, you know, give us your thought on how you weathered through it and your family.
Well, that's a great question. So first of all, those times aren't over. People are still getting COVID.
We Correct.
We have a distrust in our political system and our institutions. That's a tough time for everybody. But here's what happened to me. I really got knocked down in 2019. I learned how to swim. Ask Tom Spence, has he ever gotten a swimming pool yet? Tommy, can you hear me?
I was forced into a pool by Steve Dahl at the YMCA, and I swimmed a lap.
There you go. I
swam
a lap.
I took swimming lessons about 7 years ago from Chris Brown, as an Olympic swimming coach. So I have a 50-foot pool. I got in my pool, prior to getting in my pool, I had hip replacement, which went real smooth in April of 2019. I was able to get in the pool in June. I got halfway through my pool. I thought I was going to drown. I couldn't breathe. Like, long story short, I thought I was having an anxiety attack. I got out of the pool. I didn't tell my wife, Ellen. That night, I had a tough time breathing. The next morning, Kim and Tom, when I got up, my left eye was shut. I couldn't see out of my right eye. I couldn't breathe. I couldn't raise my head, and I couldn't walk. I didn't like that. So they rushed me to the hospital. Like, long story short, it turned out after 3 weeks in the hospital, they discovered that I had an autoimmune disease called myasthenia gravis. I still have it.
Wait, what is it? Myasthenia gravis?
Myasthenia gravis. It's a...
My mom had that.
Yeah, no kidding. Wow.
Yeah, my mom had that, and no one knew. You know, there's a whole... support for that. I don't know if you know about that.
I don't. And
I'm going to share it with you. I will share it with you, because you could go there and there's speakers. My mom was a part of that and donated to it. So yes, wow, very scary.
Yeah. So it's still a rare disease. And anyway, I was on IV. I was in the hospital 3 weeks. I came home. I could barely walk. I was excited that I could walk 12 feet in my kitchen. It took me 6 months to be able to walk. It took me a year to be able to get my strength back. And that autoimmune disease is a fatigue disease. So before I got into remission, I was literally for 2 years fatigued, couldn't do anything, sleeping and rest most of the day. But I never said why is me, because I did all the preparation for the hard times. And I went to prayer. I went to reading books. I went to thinking to myself, you know what? There's a lot worse people off than I am. Get your butt and start reaching out to other people. Start sharing. Start calling your relationships. Start asking for help. I did all the things prior to that myasthenia gravis, and people reached out to me, Kim. I mean, it got to a point where people were calling me every day asking how I was.
Right. And, it's annoying after a while, right?
Yeah.
In a good way, but I get it. You know, but that just really proves that, you know, it's interesting. I was actually doing somebody's hair last night, and they had told me they were, you know, I said, how are you doing? She said, not really good. And I go, okay, would you like to share? And she said, no, I don't really want anybody to know about it. And I said, okay, you know, it's going to stay between us, but okay. And, you know, by the end of the time, she said, I do want to share, because we do want to share. We're human beings. And we do want to make sure that we're not alone in this world by ourselves with a situation that no one else has gone through. And so once you find out, I was like, she shared it, and I'm like, I know several people. And she's like, oh, you do? Could you connect me? I don't want to feel alone anymore. And that's really what life's about. Once you share in a safe place, and I want to reach out to my listeners. I want to make sure that they hear that. Sharing to somebody that maybe doesn't have your best interest or caring about you, you want to share to somebody that has your love and your, you know, conviction for you. But usually there's somebody else that's going through that. And that's why I love doing my show, because when you have different guests on and they share their strength, I always say it's like they've got to the top of the line and they look back and help the next person in line. That's what life's about. And that's the person that I want to be.
No, Kim, you are that person. Tom Spence is that person. I'm trying to be that person. You are so right.
You are too.
You're so right. I was so embarrassed. I for a few months there, I didn't want anybody to know. And then I caught myself and said, wait a second. I did exactly what you did. I started reaching out because people said, where's the coach? Where's Coach Ron Tunick? And when people found out and I shared my story, just exactly what you said, you know, it's a part of, and I know you know a lot about mental illness because you did a show with people struggling with issues. And, you know, when you have that kind of, when you're not afraid to share your story, just exactly what you said, other people will pour into you. And I say it all the time, if you're not laying in a hospital bed, come on, get up, let's go.
I love it. I'm sorry that you went through that, but you know what? I always feel like God has a different journey for all of us. Our cards are already dealt. And you know what? There are other people going through this. It's the lesson that you had to learn through that. Do you know that? I don't know if I ever shared this, but I got meningitis when I first met my husband. It was right after I was going through my divorce, and I was paralyzed from my waist down twice. And I had to learn he called me like rubber legs, but I had to learn to get myself up, you know? And I was like, I'm a fighter, but I don't know why I'm going through this. And, you know, I had to go through the therapy and try to get myself back together. So,
it's interesting what you just said, because it's going to sound weird to say this, but I'm thankful for what happened, because I've become a better human being. I've become a better man. I've been a more caring person, because now I have true empathy. Empathy is a gift that you give to everybody else. And if I didn't go through this, I wouldn't be the person I am today. So I'm thankful for the hard times. I've heard you use this word so many times, gratitude.
Gratitude.
If you wake up every morning with your eyes open, the first thing you need to do is thank somebody. I believe in God, but I know 50% of country doesn't.
I do too, but your higher power, whatever it is, whoever you're listening to and whoever your heart is with. But you know what? There's a lot of people that don't see our age, you know, or whatever it is. So every single day is a gift, and we should all be treating it that way, especially with what we've seen through COVID.
Right. Let me make a point, because I know our time is short. So the thing that I want to share with everybody is learn how to compartmentalize
right.
your life. Just because I was having health issues doesn't mean that I can't function as a great father, as a great husband, as a great friend. Learn how to compartmentalize your life. Just because you're going through a hard time in one area doesn't mean you can't be great in other areas. Does that make any sense?
Absolutely. And I'm so glad that you mentioned that, because, you know, there's a lot of people that get angry, get mean, get resentful. And you know what? Take that lesson, walk through it, learn through it, and get on with life. Because while you are on this side of the earth, you're still here. And make the best of it.
And each one of us has 100 compartments, maybe 500 compartments. And so, you know, our dear friend Tom Spence, I know he's been through some hard times, but he always showed up. He always showed up for work. He always did his job. That was one compartment that he was able to manage better than most people I've ever met in my life. Even though he may had issues in other compartments, he never let you or me down or anybody else.
Ever. And you know what, Tom, I know you're on. Tom, how many days have you ever missed from work?
It's boasting, but I've in 30 years in this building, I've never missed a day.
Exactly my point, both of our points. Mm-hmm. And you know what? And that is such a gift and such integrity right there. Because you know what? If that's what happens when life happens to us, you still show up. And I think the three of us can actually all resonate with that because that's who we are.
Compartmentalize. And I know you've got some great, I'm going to continue to listen to the show here on Saturday morning on KVTA 1590.
Thank you so much, Coach. How do our listeners find out more about you? And I can't wait for you to have you back. This was like old, you know, just such a great conversation. And I know we got so many more to go.
Yes. And you can go to Crockpot Marketing if you want to find out more about me. I developed a marketing system for people who hate sales. I've been in sales my whole life, and every day was like dread. So I figured out 25 years ago how to get through a day in the sales and marketing business, and I developed something called Crockpot Marketing. So you go there, check me out. You can Google Coach Ron Tinnick. Thank you, Kim.
Thank you, Ron, and stay well, and we're going to be in touch. I love that.
God bless you, Thomas Spence. I love you, man. I love you too, Kim. Bye, everybody.
Thank you, dear. All right. Well, again, thank you so much for joining us here on the Kim Pazano Show, The Brighter Side of Life. When we come back, we're going to be talking with Diane Forster, and she's a best-selling author, TEDx speaker, TV host, podcaster, and intentional living expert. We're going to talk with her, and of course, right now, you are listening, and we'll be right back. Stay with us.
Manhattan of Camarillo is an Italian-inspired restaurant located in the heart of the beautiful Santa Rosa Valley that offers something for everyone. The menu is made up of multi-regional classic Italian dishes with an extensive wine list. For a bit more of a casual atmosphere, come join Trivia Nights on Thursdays in the Madison Beer Garden with a full bar of craft beer selections Fridays and Saturdays. Enjoy live music with local talent, and be sure to check out the dance floor. Manhattan of Camarillo's private wine banquet room holds up to 40 people, perfect for any professional or special occasion. On Wednesday nights, be sure to check out their signature three-course menu for $25. Make your reservations today or book your next private party. Call Manhattan of Camarillo today to make your reservation at 805-388-5550. That's 805-388-5550. Or go to themanhattanofcamarillo.com.
Main Street Mortgage guides and educates clients based on three fundamental principles coined by America's homeownership coach, John W. Mallett, which form the basis of their unique approach to building wealth and well-being through homeownership. When followed, these principles result in their clients' successful purchase of their home and lay a strong foundation for sustained homeownership. Main Street Mortgage's mission, purpose, and goals are to provide you with the tools to finance and purchase your dream home. Come one step closer to homeownership by contacting Gina at 818-874-9900. That's 818-874-9900. Don't put your dreams on hold any longer. Call today.
Are you worried your perfect customers are finding you online, then clicking away because your website makes your business look outdated? Imagine this, having a website that reflects your expertise and professionalism. Peace of mind knowing your website is kept up to date and secure. A managed hosting plan, especially for your website. If you're ready to have all that you imagined, visit webweaversconsulting.com for WordPress website packages, maintenance plans, and hosting plans. Webweavers Consulting will make your website work for you so you can focus on making a difference in your own unique way. That's webweaversconsulting.com.
Even good people can end up under investigation or facing a criminal charge. Ridley Defense can help start getting your life back on track. Bringing on a premier criminal defense team like Ridley Defense as early as possible gives you the greatest potential for a favorable outcome. Learn how Ridley Defense can help. Call 805-208-1866 for a complimentary consultation about your case. Ridley Defense provides the very best criminal defense representation you'll find in Ventura, Santa Barbara, and Los Angeles. They are dedicated to devoting their entire resources to defending you. For more information, visit RidleyDefense.com. That's RidleyDefense.com. Ridley Defense can help heal you and your family during the criminal justice process. Ridley Defense handles everything from DUI to the most serious crimes, including major felonies and appeals. Get a premier criminal defense team on your side. Visit RidleyDefense.com. That's RidleyDefense.com. Or call 805-208-1866 today.
If you're a business owner or looking to be one, put Littlefoot Construction on the top of your list. Littlefoot Construction specializes in restaurant remodels, tenant improvements, office remodels. Call Littlefoot Construction with all your commercial and industrial needs. Littlefoot Construction works with big or small businesses. Or even if it's a dream, Littlefoot Construction will make your vision come true. Call Littlefoot Construction at 805-491-2759. That's 805-491-2759 for all your construction needs.
Now, back to the Kim Pagano Show.
Finally, on KVTA.
Welcome back, everyone. And again, thank you so much for joining us here on the Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Life. And of course, my next guest, I'm really excited to bring her on, Diane Forster. She is an award-winning inventor, a 2X best-selling author, TEDx speaker, TV host, podcaster, international living expert and reinvention specialist, and she works with her clients privately and helps you clear away those mindset blocks and limiting beliefs. And we're going to have her on, and of course her newest book is I Have Today with Diane Forster, and also it is Diane, are you there? What's your is that
I'm
your
here I'm here, Kim.
Good, a better today. And you know what? What is people, we were just talking, I was just had the pleasure of talking with Ron Tunick. And of course, I know you know him too. A better today. How did you come up with that?
Well, thank you for the introduction and for having me here. I'm so excited to be here. And I just want to correct one thing. I'm actually an intentional living expert, and that ties into the name of the company I have today and everything that we do in our coaching and transformational business and media company. And so, oh my gosh, how I came up with it is it's a story. So my background was in advertising and television sales, and I was a corporate girl for 32 years. I started out in the ad business in LA, worked in that industry for 8 years before relocating to Chicago to get married, and I switched over to television sales. And so that was my background. It was an amazing career. You know, I've worked on so many amazing accounts, and working for Disney ABC for so long, I sold over $100 million in my career and just learned a lot about messaging and marketing and branding and sales and client relations. But what my career was great, my personal life wasn't. And I was in a very unhealthy, unhappy marriage and relationship. And Kim, I didn't tell anybody how unhappy I was. Mm-hmm. And I stayed in that relationship for 2 decades. And so what happened was the packaging of my life looked so good on the outside, but what was going on inside of me was a very, very different story.
And so many people are probably listening to this right now and can totally relate, because we have that that cover that we live in. And instead of really being honest and sharing, like, I'm hurting so bad, suicide is so up right now. And to have people be able to share this, you know, I'm really glad you're here. So thank you for sharing this vulnerability, you know.
Of course. And this is why I do what I do, because I know where I've been and I know that I'm not alone. There are millions and millions of people living the way I was living and worse. And you're right. The statistics for suicides are, they were up 100% during the pandemic. And actually, the number one age group for suicide attempts is women between the ages of 45 and 64.
Oh,
now, men are more successful at it because women go, you know, have guilt and doubt and fear and, you know, I can't do this, can't leave my family behind, all the reasons. But they attempt it and they're thinking about it more. And so I was one of those women. And so in June of 2011, I just hit a breaking point in my life. And it wasn't anything out of the ordinary other than the fact that it was just after the fight, I snapped and went upstairs and took out two full bottles of prescription pain medication I had sitting in a cabinet that from a surgery I had the year before to remove part of my colon, because Kim, the stress of my life was literally killing me. My mother died of colon cancer and I was headed down that path. It was just eating me alive. As I stood there in the bathroom with those pills in my hand, crying, just saying, I can't take the pain and loneliness anymore. My arm got karate chopped. Something came in and chopped my arm, knocked those pills out of my hand. And I heard a voice scream in my ear, Diane, you are not ending your life this way. You need to go get help so you can tell your story and you can help others. Mm-hmm. And so I said, well, you need to show me the way. And so I cleaned up the mess, kissed my kids goodnight, and called a therapist the next day. And I said, I need help. I'm changing my life. And that started the transformation for me, the healing for me, the self-love for me, the awakening for me. And along that journey, you know, a lot of other things were happening. I created my kitchen product. You know, I was already in the mindset of learning about entrepreneurship. So I have these things colliding at the same time. So 2 years after my bathroom moment.
Did you ever feel so overwhelmed? Like here you're just trying to clean your life up. And yet at the same time, you have this dream that you want to live, right? So I know that you talk about this. Do this one thing to improve your life at each day. How did you pick the first thing?
Well, if you're talking about the things from the book, I chose those things because they're simple and easy to do. And anybody, wherever they are in their journey or path, can do these things. You don't have to be as spiritually awakened as I am. You know, the first thing I did in my transformation was a meditation practice, and that really changed me. But not everybody's open to that.
Right.
But if you could change and shift the outcome of your day by just asking yourself the question every day, why does this day keep getting better and better? Mm. Why does this day keep getting better and better? And if you're having a bad day, you watch. Your day will start getting better and better. And even if your day is good, it'll get even better. So that's my first challenge to you in the book, is to have that awareness. The whole book is about creating awareness, Kim, that you are actually the one in the power of your life. And if you could just create awareness around that, and I give you these little wins, all of a sudden your confidence gets boosted. And you start understanding, oh, I actually am the one in control of my life. Oh, I actually can choose to live differently. I can decide to be happy. I can take the experiences that happen in my life and find the lesson and the blessing and the gift in them. And so it's intentional, because everything I do is intentional. It's methodical, and it's super fun and easy. So each day's challenge in the 30 days is just one simple page. It's a page and a half. And all you have to do is be aware of that.
Right,
and the way I designed the book is you recap to remember. So I'm making you aware and reminding you of what you did the day before and what you did the day before that. And so in your mind, you're going, oh, yeah, that's right. I did do that. And this happened. I did do that. And this happened. And that's right. How we create lasting, permanent, positive change, is by these micro actions that create these macro results. So, yeah.
Right. Wow. I love that. So let me ask you, you know, a lot of people try to have the best day. Okay. I call it, in my world, in my radio, the brighter side. They look at the brighter side, and sometimes life throws us back some triggers. How do you keep yourself up? How do you keep walking forward?
Well, it's, the motto is 1% better every day. If I could just be 1% better every day, that compound interest in a year will be 3,378%. So I don't have to overwhelm myself with doing too many things. And so if I have a quote unquote setback or something that knocks me off, I practice kindness and forgiveness to myself, knowing, okay, well, I can choose to be bitter, or I can choose to be better. And I'm going to choose to be 1% better every day.
I love that, Diane. Mm-hmm. I love that. I do want to remind anybody that's just waking up with us, starting your day in a positive way here on the Kim Pagano Show. We're talking with Diane Forster. And we're talking about making small changes every day to have a better life. And I know that, how did you get over the fear of such a major change in your life?
Well, it wasn't just a big leap. It was micro changes all along that I was doing that gave me the confidence to then finally go after my big, my big dream, even though I didn't know exactly how anything was going to happen with it. But when I walked away from everything in my life, it was because I declared that I wanted an extraordinary life and I was going to do everything I can to get it. I had already understood the concept of I have today, which, by the way, came to me as a poem, and the many poems I was writing in my transformation. Wow. I said, oh my gosh, this is what God was talking about. All I do have is today. So I'm going to live each day to the fullest. And, my past is behind me. I need to get over that as quickly as I can. And my future is my decision. So I have today to be intentional and figure that out and take big leaps, because if I don't, I'm going to be holding myself back. And so I knew I wanted to make the big leap. I knew I wanted to leave corporate behind, and I wanted to create I Have Today. I didn't know how, but I knew that I had success with my kitchen product, because I invented a kitchen product. And
what is it? Can you share that? Just curious.
Sure.
I love kitchen products.
It's called the Sifter. And think spoon sifter. It's a sifting spoon that you use to decorate your foods and beverages with your sugars and spices. Really fun thinking tool.
So almost like to drip oil over something or...
dry spices. Yeah, not oil.
Okay. So
it's cinnamon, paprika, powdered sugar, herbs,
Are you a cook?
Yes, I love to cook, bake, and entertain, and I came up with it making deviled eggs, and so too much spice came out of the container and ruined my dish, and I got this flash in my mind of this product, and so I set out on a quest to find it, couldn't find it, and that same voice that saved me in the bathroom that night whispered in my ear, Diane, you need to create this. So I went from concept to winning an innovation award to landing on QVC, where we sold out in 6 minutes. So that was my entryway.
That's awesome. Diane, I want to ask you, so each day you have routines, we all do, right? But is there anything that's non-negotiable that you do every single day?
Yes. My non-negotiables are, I nurture my spirit, mind, and body every single day. I meditate every day, and that has been the most transformational thing for me, quieting my mind, you know, shutting out the noise so I could receive the ideas and the guidance. You know, my prayers get answered through meditation. I journal every day because that is my, you know, channel with my pen in my hand on paper to allow me to express and create more. I never complain about anything. I'm always future forward facing in my journaling. And that sets me up for that intentional movement forward. And then I move my body every single day. And that just gets the endorphins and serotonin going. It feels so good. And those are my non-negotiables. So I fuel my tank. I'm selfishly selfish, you know, in the morning, in that time. And then I have so much to give the rest of the day to the rest of the world. Those are my non-negotiables.
I love it. Yeah. Again, thank you so much, Diane, for sharing your time here on the Kim Pagano Show. Please download our podcast and also share it with everyone. And I'd love to have you back. And I'd love to connect with you also. How do our listeners find out more about you?
Okay, I would go to dianeforster.com, DianeForster. And then on all social media, I'm Diane Forster Official.
There you go. And I want one of those spoons. I love cooking and entertaining, so I'll have to figure out how to get one of those.
I love it, Kim. That's so great.
Yeah. All right. Let's do something fun together again. And thank you so much. Have the great rest of your weekend.
Thank you. You too. Take care.
All right.
All right.
All right. We are going to take a really quick break. You're listening to the Kim Pagano Show. Stay with us. When we come back, we're going to be talking with Lisa Prusak, and we'll find out a little bit more about her.
Are you ready to empower your child with the skills they need to safely enjoy the water? Kim O'Brien with Survival Swim with Kim, Infant Aquatics, teaches self-rescue swim skills to children of all ages. Self-rescue skills can save a child's life if they accidentally fall into the water. After losing her daughter to drowning, Kim became a certified survival swim instructor to help families in Ventura County protect their children. Survival Swim with Kim teaches kids 6 months and up how to roll and float independently. Don't wait. Check out survivalswimwithkim.com. That's survivalswimwithkim.com or call Kim at 805-620-7177. That's 805-620-7177.
Did you know anger management is available to you? Do you live with stress every day? Are you driving, feeling stressed, possibly speeding? There are stress management techniques available to you to help you reduce stress and the risk of a court-ordered anger management class. TNT Anger Management Services can help you. The consultation is free. Call TNT today, not tomorrow, at 818-264-6255. That's 818-264-6255. Or go to their website at tntams.com. That's tntams.com.
It's showtime.
Now, back to the Kim Pagano Show on KVTA.
Welcome back, everyone. And again, thank you so much for joining us here on the Kim Pagano Show. My next guest is Lisa Prusak, and we're going to talk with her a little bit. She is from the intern to the CEO, is the legacy that she has created. And she's a master thought leader, strategic partner, and Lisa helps CEOs and entrepreneurs create and implement operations processes to streamline their businesses. We're going to hear a little bit. I had an opportunity to talk with her a little bit yesterday, and I am so excited to bring her on. Lisa, welcome, and thank you so much for being here.
Hey, thank you, Kim. I really appreciate the opportunity to talk with you today.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about yourself. You know, I think that for businesses, what I got from our talk yesterday is we feel, or business owners might feel, that they can replace anybody. And that's been happening a lot lately. I hear that in the news, like, you know, people that have been there for years, and all of a sudden they, you know, all that experience and all that dedication that you gave your company, and they bring in, let's just say,
you know, a robot or somebody that is not qualified, but they don't care. And that just is wrong on every level. So I'm excited to talk about how to find, select, retain top talent, because really that's what makes you different in your business, correct?
Yes, ma'am. That's exactly right.
Yeah. So how did you get into this a little bit, and how, especially with the pandemic and the great resignation, I mean, people have totally either, I think life paused so much that people were like, I'm tired of this rat race, or I just want to go home. And there are so many people that have changed careers. Do you agree with me?
Yeah, they've changed careers. A lot of people went out and said, "I'm going to start my own business,"
correct, or
"I'm gonna," you know, with the great resignation and the pandemic, I'm just gonna leave and I'm gonna try to find something else. But I think people, you know, more so than ever before, we're looking at that work-life balance, the culture of the company, the what we like to call the occupational health of and the environment of the company as well, and their contributions in it. And we all want to feel valued and respected for what we bring to the table. And what becomes difficult is when, like you pointed out, when we are seen as only a number that can be interchangeable. And
you know what? And I really want to say that again, Lisa, because I want to make sure that, you know, the reason so many people were quitting or giving up their careers or because they weren't valued.
They didn't feel valued.
And they didn't feel valued, exactly. And so I think that was so important.
It's hugely important. And even before the pandemic, Kim, this was interesting. So I have a master's in industrial organizational psychology, and it's a lot about what we studied. So IO psychology is all about the world of work. And it's in the STEM sciences, as a matter of fact. And so it's all data driven. So it's not just your ivory tower, you know, philosophy type information. It's actually boots on the ground, really getting into the nitty gritty of workers and employees and employers and businesses, and really taking the data. And so even before the pandemic, it was very important to people to feel valued, to feel supported, to feel important, to feel like they were making a contribution, to feel like they had some autonomy in their job and they could make decisions and they really could contribute. And so those were important things even before the pandemic. And surprisingly enough, it wasn't about the money. Money wasn't in the top five reasons why people were happy at work.
Wow.
And so then, you know, we had the pandemic, and like you pointed out, everybody started, you know, working from home or got laid off. Unfortunately, some of that happened too. But the people who were working from home and then had a hybrid situation, right, really figured out, well, wow, this is different, right? This is more of like what we call a work-life balance, you know, almost like the best of both worlds that we hear about.
Right.
And then as the pandemic started to, you know, I want to say subside, although I mean, it's still here, but I think we've learned how to deal with it a little bit better than at the beginning. People still wanted that work-life balance. I don't necessarily want to drive an hour to work one way every day and back again. You know, I want to be able to find the time to take my kid into school and pick them up from school and so on. And so, you know, so if we had the great resignation that started and people seeking other opportunities and things, and then now we're even talking about this thing called quiet quitting, where again, that's people not feeling valued and just saying, I'm just going to do what is on my job description and nothing more. So they're not leaving the company, but they're not your high performer. And they just don't feel respected and valued in their job. So they're not engaged and committed to what they're doing. And so it's a really big topic to talk about.
I have to 100% agree with you. So let me ask you a question. What ways should business owners and leaders look at their people? I think this is just a great reminder.
Right, right. So it's really interesting. So there's been some research out there that is talking about chief people officers or chief human resource officers you know, who really are strategic within the company, aligning themselves with the CFOs, you know, or the finance people in the company to make recommendations to the owners and the leaders of the businesses, even small businesses, right? So it's not going to be maybe those titles, but similar roles. And when they get together and become strategic and they're aligned where they both agree that people are the biggest asset to companies. And again, whether it's a small business, medium-sized business, large business, people are our biggest assets unless, like we joked around yesterday, Kim, when we were talking, unless you have a bunch of robots doing your work, right?
Correct,
the people are going to be the ones that if we can get them feeling good about where they work and feeling proud and feeling valued and getting them engaged, we can really be very successful at achieving our strategic plan to get to our business outcome that we want. And this alignment between the HR folks and the financial folks, and again, at any size business, really becomes important because even pre-pandemic, sometimes those people were not looking at people the same way, right? Some finance people may have been looking at people like, you know, numbers and so on. And the HR folks are like, yeah, but they contribute and they do this and that. And I think now there's been an awakening in the financial community and different things. I think it's better now, but there's been a lot of things being written about that partnership and that strategic partnership that I think is great. And then getting those
business leaders. And I have to even add something to that, Lisa. Like, you know, if you have a department that, you know your team, but then HR is making these decisions and they have no, they have nothing personal to date, you know, to judge on. That's really, I think that's really harmful to your team. Do you agree?
Yes, it can be. Now, your HR folks are supposed to be the people who really have a pulse on your team, right?
Exactly.
And your people. And that's super important, right?
So
when you have a great HR team, whether it's inside or outside, right, that's advising the leadership or the owner of the company, when you have a really great team who really gets to know the employees and really what makes them tick and really gets in there and figures out, you know, those good job targets with good job descriptions where everybody knows, okay, this is what I'm doing, this is what I'm accountable for. But more importantly, this is what I'm contributing. This is where I'm valuable. This is where I'm bringing my superpower, you know, onto the team, into the organization, where I can really make a difference. And people really value that. And I think more so than ever, they want to pick a place that has a culture that values the employees, that values their contributions, and helps them to really develop themselves from a personal and professional way, right?
Get
those personal and professional growth plans going. Obviously, there needs to be accountability, right? But, you know, you get that in there and you feel like your organization and the people that run it and the ownership and the leaders really value you as a contributor, boy, are you going to be engaged and committed and less likely to leave or less likely to do quiet quitting, right?
Correct.
And more likely to be very engaged, you know, driving results and feeling good about it, right? Feeling like I'm contributing my part on the team. And our team is contributing to the organization. And now the organization is successful and everybody wins. And I think more so than ever, that's what we have to get to. I mean, we're in a little dicey, you know, what's going to happen, you know, in the economy and things like that.
Exactly.
So the more successful that we can help people feel and become and the organizations become successful, you know, the more that we're going to fight off this, you know, this quasi-recession or recession that looks like it might come to be.
And let me ask you, so what advice would you give to business owners or leadership teams to help them lead well? Because to me, it's a twofold. They have to make sure they're leading and also they need to be inclusive so that not one person doesn't, you know, doesn't feel unappreciative, because that's really what's going to lead to this, as you call it, quiet quitting. I never heard that before, but that
it's the new term. It's just in the last couple of weeks, people have been talking about that. And so I've been doing a little bit of reading about that recently. So I thought I would mention it today because
I appreciate
that. It's the great resignation and the quiet quitting. And I was like, oh my goodness, if if leaders and business owners weren't stressed out enough, you know?
Yeah.
But I like your question. So as a former CEO a couple of times, what's important? Well, know yourself first, right? Mm. Know your strengths. Know your challenges. Understand how you communicate. Understand how you make decisions. Really get in there and think about what's really important to you. What kind of team are you trying to build? What kind of strategy does your organization need? Do you really have all of your verticals in your company, even if you're a small company? Do you have them really defined well and the roles really defined well, so you know the type, you know who you're looking for, right? You know the person that you're looking for. We like to call it, when you go out and you look for somebody to fill a role, we like to talk about your head, your heart, and your briefcase. So the head is, again, your behaviors, right? Your personality, what you bring to the table. And then your heart is how engaged, how excited, how committed are you, right?
And then
your briefcase, right? That's easy. That's your experiences. And when we can delve in to
Lisa,
all three of those
things, have to have you back because this is so interesting. Give us your website really quick and how we can find you.
Yeah, sure. www.redstonebusinessconsultinggroup.com. So it's redstonebcg.com.
There you go. Lisa, thank you so much. Please download our podcast. And I know it was fast. We'll have to have you back because this is so interesting.
Oh, I would love to. Thanks for the conversation.
Please,
I really appreciate it.
Let's connect
really
again. All right. Thank you so much. And, of course, we are at the end of our show. This has been so good. And I hope that all of our listeners, if you missed any part of it, go download our podcast. We would love to have you there. And, of course, I end all of my shows with a moment of happiness. More powerful than the will to win is the courage to begin. And really, just, you know what? Take each day as a gift and be grateful for that. You've been listening to The Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Life, and I'll talk to you next week.